Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingly gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian, the inevitable. Then floating out is Spanish Vision, but very elegant at the 150. The darling of the turf has raced clear 3 weeks incentivised, and it's very elegant. 10 group ones, and now the greatest of them all, the Melbourne Cup. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck, but it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from Thunderstruck. El Monagon Wicks down the middle. Kings will dream at the 100. It's getting desperate now. Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good. They can't beat her.
G'day punters, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast, where we will be previewing day one of the Warrnambool May Carnival. Congratulations, fellas. We are celebrating 2 years of the podcast. It was exactly 2 years ago to the day where Nico and I sat huddled around the table, one mic, two blokes, and I think we sounded like absolute robots.
No idea. Yeah, it was... We've come a long way since then. But yeah, it's the eve of the greatest week of the year, yep. So can't complain. What a day that we've witnessed in Hong Kong. Invincible Sage, who was just, for the punters out there that don't know who he was Thronbone here in Australia, trained by Jerome Hunter. That was as good a steer as you'll see from Huey. He just sat in behind a Hot Speed, the Japan horse. Tried to have a go early, and then obviously Victor and Spangle too.
How was Thronbone won a Group One?
Oh, he's been ever so consistent since he's got to Hong Kong. I think he might have ran one bad race since he's been there. I reckon he's nearly finished in the money every single time. Like, he's been ultra consistent, and then today worked out perfect. Like, the Japanese horse went hard and fired up the other two, then the Japanese horse snagged, and Huey was just sitting pretty in behind him, and he's a horse who likes soft ground, so he was always
He was aware of the 300.
Going to be well suited. So, top of the straight.
Romantic Warrior wins the QE2 Cup for the third year straight. He is the first horse ever to win this race three times in a row. A Herculean effort. Prognosis was obviously one of the runs of the race, if not the run of the race, missing the start. Circling wide, making the mid-race move, but Romantic Warrior, you can't take anything away. He is a certified champion. And then Golden 60, I know he wasn't at his best today, but we did say on the preview pod, wet ground is his Achilles heel, and he was returning off a bit of an injury let-up. So I think genuine excuses for the champ. I hope they don't retire him on that note.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I'm with you. I hope they don't say that's it after that, because that wasn't him at his best today on soft ground. But it was so fascinating to hear J-Max post-race. I don't know if the punters out there have listened to it, but you definitely should. I've never seen J-Max so speechless after a win like that. Like he said, you know, the horse never travelled. He was back wide. By the time he finally sort of got into a bit of a rhythm, it was 1,000 metres out, and another horse took charge. went around him. So then he had to get on his bike again. He goes at 600, he felt like he had no horse, and he goes top of the straight. Once he swung in, he just found another gear, and he was genuinely taken by his performance. And you don't see that from the world's best very often. And yeah, I wish he would come back to Australia for another bout in a Cox Plate, but I don't think that'll be very likely. But all roads lead to Japan next start over the mile next start.
1600 meters. He's going to face some stiff competition there for sure.
Is he just going to? Is he
Will Alford?
Is he possibly going to just has, have that? Is he going
to
have that?
He's just left the line as I was about to introduce him. What were you saying, Nico?
Are you worried that he may have that little, like he might have that zap taken out of him back to the mile next start? Obviously, the race is a chance to be run. Obviously, a bit quicker early. Obviously, barriers and stuff are going to play a big part. But are you worried that he might be a touch vulnerable back to the mile next start? Or is this that good that the quicker they go early, the better that he'll...
Yeah, I think back to 1600 meters is a genuine query for him. I think he's a dead set 2000 meter horse. He's not actually a horse who has this elite turn of foot, but he's just got such strength and a tremendous will to win, obviously. But 1600 meters, he may find a few of those too sharp, and it's going to be a different race shape to what he faces in Hong Kong and on a firmer footing.
Is he going to race the same horses that he beat today? Like his prognosis?
I'm not sure if prognosis is going there or not, but it will be run at a fast tempo. That's what you can ensure with any 1600-meter Group 1 race in Japan. And it's just going to be a bit of a shock to the system potentially, because he's gone from a soft track in Hong Kong at his happy place, 2000, and he goes to Japan, rock-hard track potentially, back to the mile, which is, we know he's probably not quite at his best at the mile. So, yeah, it'd be interesting.
Yeah. Just needs to draw a gate and J-Mac can put him in a spot and he should be, should be rather competitive, you think.
Will Alford, do we have you on the line now? A bit of a scratchy internet. You're in Euroa, we believe, at your grandparents?
Yeah, I'm at my grandparents in Euroa, making the trip up to Euroa. I mean, making the trip up to Warrnambool tomorrow morning, so yeah, I'm doing it. No, I'm
in a dead set dungeon tonight
back there. I'm doing it tough at the moment. it's good up here. Yeah,
internet connection is shot.
That's what happens when you're in the middle of nowhere. But anyway,
so there we go.
Yeah, we'll be up in Warrnambool tomorrow, so that'll be fine. I think we're doing a joint preview. We're like, I don't know how we're doing it, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah. That's tomorrow's problem. Yeah. All right, Nico, let's turn our focus to Warrnambool now. The track has been upgraded to a soft six, and it has been relatively dry conditions. They did get a little bit of rain the last week or so, but overall dry for this time of year. Tell us about the conditions, the track, and potentially will they have to irrigate the track even more for these jumpers?
Yeah, well, I think at the moment, being a soft six, I suspect the weather looks pretty fine for the rest of the week. I suspect that they might put a little bit of irrigation on the track tomorrow. I think they'll want this track to be on the worst side of a six to start with, because they won't want to be irrigating after Tuesday, after you've already had 10 races run on it. That could spell a bit of drama, I think, if you start doing things like that. So I think that you'd want the track to be a 6.5 to a 7 on the proviso that the weather forecast is looking fine, and the track's basically got to be as soft as it's going to be for the whole carnival on day one, because it's going to slowly improve with the weather, and they don't want to have an incident like that they had the last meeting here, which was when obviously we lost those couple of races due to the track being too firm in some spots. So I think up Briley Paddock is fine. They'll probably have that probably like an 8.7 to 8, and the steeple lane, but it's more so these hurdle races that they're going to have that are on the circle that need to be probably that 6.5 range. Because I don't think you'd want a track that's getting a soft 5 on the rating on the ratings band that could potentially be a little bit better than that. So I think they'll eye on the side of caution and have it a little bit softer than probably what they need to. That'd be my guess.
Sweet as. All right. So we're looking at a top of 16 degrees on Tuesday and only a minimal chance of showers. So that is typical bull conditions. It's going to be wintry, but hopefully not wet. The way we're going to structure this preview podcast.
Just being so dry compared to normal years. Normally you're wishing the rain to go away, but you've been wishing it to come and it hasn't came. Really, like it's going to be a beautiful soft track, but yeah, I don't think it's normally a bit easier when there's a bit more rain, but we'll wait and see.
And I do say 16 degrees is wintry, but that's probably pleasant compared to some warnable years.
Let's start with the
hurdle races first. We go race one, maiden hurdle, 3,200 metres, obviously. Alec Ahern is the $3 favourite from Dubai Moon, $3.50. Extra exclusive is $4. Right now, $8.50. Holster, $11. Nico, you keen on the OTI runner here?
Yeah, I just thought this race, I think there's claims that you could probably mark him favourite. And I think as we get closer to the race, I think he's probably closer to that mark. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't, if he starts favourite. I think Alec Ahern is not going all that well. I think there's a bit of Mar tax that we spoke about prior to this podcast happening, Benny. I think this is a horse who hasn't really gotten out of his own way in some sort of time now. So, I can't quite work out why he's $3. I think that's got purely everything to do with him wearing Kieran's colours at Warrnambool purely. His recent trial was okay, I thought, but he's a horse that you got to take on trust, and he's a horse who hasn't been competitive for a long while. And I thought Dubai Moon, even though we were with him last start at Pakenham and he got beat by Affluential, I still think the back end of 3,200 is going to see him out. He still did a fair bit wrong at Pakenham. And I still thought coming over the last that he'd done enough, but the 3,200 at Warrnambool is going to be a fair bit stiffer than the 3,200 that he faced at Pakenham. And I think, although he's going to take benefit into his second jump start, I still think he does a little bit wrong. And I've got a big query at the back end of, the back end of the trip. I could see him probably being in front with one or two flights to go. And then I can see Extra Elusive coming over the top and beating him. I think this horse is going to make a pretty solid jumper. His recent trial was pretty good, I thought. He's a horse who's just going to get better and better the more that he races, but he's got some reasonable form around on the flat. Like, I know, albeit over shorter distances, but Andrew Bobbin is a good jumps trainer, and he'll have this horse fit and ready to go. And OTI normally always love having a winner at Warrnambool. So I think, I think the market will come for him closer to the race. And if it's not, well, I think we can all play our part in trying to correct it and make sure that he does get towards that. But I think he will be extremely hard to beat in the first race of the carnival.
Beautiful. So that's 11:20 a.m., the first of 30 races, 10 across 3 days each. We now go to the second maiden hurdle. All of these are at 3,200 metres. Willy Wink is $2.60 favourite. From Bazzini, $3. Apache Thunder, $6. Southern France, $9.50. And I can't say that name, but number three, $13. Nico, it's fair to say from the chats we've had off air that this is probably the maiden hurdle that you're the least keenest on.
This is going to be lunch.
This will not be lunch by the amount of food you eat for breakfast, mate.
Well, that's probably a fair point. It might be time for a snack. or a slash at the Dunnies. I don't know, one of the two, but this is not really a race that I was overly keen on getting involved in. I thought this was the worst of the three heats in the maidens. I think Willie Wink deserves to be favourite. He's coming off some good, solid, flat form. Obviously, he won at Stawell in the jumpers flat on Cup Day at Easter. Did well in doing so. He sort of ran okay prior to that. And he jumped real good in his trial, I thought. But he did get a little keen. And it's all good and well to get a little keen in your trials. But race day is a different beast. And there's a horse in here that I've got a lot of time for. And I think he'll make a good jumper in number two, Bazzini. But I think if push comes to shove, I think Willie Wink might just have that. He might just be a little bit quicker than Bazzini, but Bazzini will stay all day, and I think he'll make probably a real good steeplechaser in time to come, because he'll probably just go up and down in the one spot for a length of time. So over these hurdles might not be his go, but I still think he can win his fair share of races along the way. And it just wasn't really a race that I wanted to play into. I think you've got a good $4 bet in the first, and you've been asked to take $2.60 or $3 about two horses who are similar ability, and this is a race that I could see like an upset coming from, just the fastest of a bad bunch. Yep,
maybe the one I couldn't pronounce his name. All right, race three is the third of the maiden hurdles.
I think it is.
Irish Butterfly looks extremely hard to beat here. He is the even money favourite for Willie McCarthy and Henry Dwyer. Freddie the Eagle is $3.50. Leaderboard, $3.80. Then you're way out to Vidarchi, $11, and Gambu, $18. Nico, can the punters get the Bull Carnival underway here with Irish Butterfly?
Well, I'm hoping so. It'll be a tough road back if he gets beat, let's put it that way. Obviously, we were with him on his jumps debut, and Elementary, after doing everything wrong in his second race, in his first race start, like a drunken sailor, come and beat him here at his second, well, at Elementary second start, Butterfly's first start. And I go, oh my God, how'd that freaking happen? But I think Butterfly will take enormous improvement out of his first run to his second run here. He's obviously trialled in between, trialled real good. I thought we did enough, and I think especially seeing Warnable for a second time, I think he'll only be improved from that, and I think he'll be extremely hard to beat. I think Leaderboard showed at Pakenham that he's no star, so I don't think you have to be too worried about him. Obviously, his second start here in Australia, he can improve. And Freddie the Eagle's obviously coming off a 2,100-metre win at Ballarat on the synthetic. Trial well in his latest trial, but I've still got a little query on him running the back end strong of a trip. But you trust that Simon Wilde's got him ready to go. But I've got no doubt that Irish Butterfly will be much improved into his second race start, and I think he'll be extremely hard to beat, and he'll be part of the best bet
on day started, one. I completely agree.
So he started favourite in the Warrnambool Cup last year, 12 months ago. Now he's favourite in the...
Mm-hmm. Yep. He did school up last year, and I was hoping that he was going to go to Ballarat that last day when Benny and I went, and we would have a sizable wager, but that never eventuated. He was going too good on the flat. But yeah, it was always a matter of time before he went jumping, and I'm glad that he has.
Yeah, it's a good point you bring up, Bot. I think he's the best bet of the day, Irish Butterfly. I thought the run last start behind Elementary was super. We've seen what Elementary has come out and done at his next hurdle start. Came out and beat Pure Deal by 4.5 lengths, who's not a bad jumper himself. And there was a massive gap back to third in that race. As Nico said, he's going to only improve off of that. Goes Horner to McCarthy. And I think Black Figures for this horse is...
big upside.
Yeah, good betting. Did you have much to say about the wild horse? Yeah.
Me? Oh, there's just an element of doubt. Like, you got to trust Simon Wild a lot that the horse is able to run the trip. But, yeah, I just thought the horse was skinny enough. Like, to me, I think you could mark Irish Butterfly closer to, like, $1.65 and the other two closer to sort of $5.
All right, beautiful. Let's get to the first of the three features. It is the Briley Steeplechase over 3,450 metres. Number one, Stern Idol comes here, $1.65. Last year, he went only to the Grand Annual, and they probably pulled the wrong rein. They found out he doesn't really stay the trip. Balex 1 is $5. Britannicus, last year's winner, I think he was a runner-up the year before, is $8. Mighty Oasis is $10. Instigator, $10. And the key scratching is Castro Frankaroo. I'm not sure why he's come out, Nico, but you might be able to elaborate.
On Castro Frankaroo, I'm unsure as to why he hasn't, why he's not taken his place. I haven't reached out to Mitch, but I hope all is well with the horse because I think he was probably up into this race for a long way. I thought he ran Stern Idol to a couple of lengths last start, albeit Stern was in Idol. Yeah, I think it's competitive in behind him. I think there is one absolute hole in the market. I think that's Balex 1. I know that he's definitely doing the Briley Annual Double. His flat form in the lead up to this has been solid. He ran second at Kyneton behind one of the Kamani horses, and he ran solid behind Strawberry Rock, two back at the Valley. And his recent trial was okay, but just it's very hard for these horses to win a Briley if they're trying to win an annual a couple of days later. It's usually just a poke around and a fitness run and just top you off before. He's not the type of, like, I don't think he's a ZM or a gold medals. You've got to be that caliber of horse to do the double, and I don't think he is quite that good. So, yeah, I'm happy to oppose him. And at the current price, I think he's silly. If they keep coming for him, I'm going to entertain probably laying him the place, I think. I think there's two good bets in this race. I think Stern's the obvious, and I think you can have a multi with him, an Irish Butterfly. That's my suggested play, and that's something that I think I'll get involved in myself. And then I think I'm going to have a same race multi in the race. I think I'm going to back Stern Idol the win, and I think Mighty Oasis is a good thing to run top four. I don't think he'll miss top four, and I think you could even probably have a bet at the place at, you know, sort of 250 plus. I think he's a horse who is going to love racing back around Warrnambool. Obviously, he's a Thackeray winner last year, and he ran super behind Instigator here in the first meeting of the season. I think it's not going to matter if it's a touch drier for him, and he's just a horse who just goes real good around Warrnambool. So obviously he ran super for us last start at Ballarat, being our best value that day, and I think he's outstanding value again. I don't know if he can beat Stern. I think the only way they do beat Stern is if something goes amiss, and over 3,450 metres, I don't think it will. So, yeah, that's my read on the race. I think you can get involved in a few angles. I think you can back Stern the win. You can back Stern with Irish Butterfly. And I think you can back Stern with Mighty Oasis top four and potentially Mighty Oasis the place at sort of 250 plus. I think Britannicus deserves to be where he is in the market. Obviously, he's last year's winner. He beat Flying Agent, who in my belief should have won. Horner slaughtered him. And then obviously he was gallant the year before. Britannicus just being beat by Vanguard. So he's always there. He's always honest. He's going to get the perfect track conditions. Instigator, I believe, is trying to do the double as well. He's better suited in the Briley than he will be in the annual. I personally don't think that he'll get 5,500, but good luck to them if they're going to try. The real disappointment in this race is Tolmach. I don't know what the fuck's happened to him. He's dead to the shadow of himself at the moment. He's not the same horse who pissed in the novice this day last year, or this carnival last year, and smashed him at Sandown. I don't know what's happened to him, but yeah, hard to see him turning his form around. But I think the top four or top five in betting, I think, dominate, and I think there's plenty of angles in the race. Just depends on how you want to get involved.
Yep. Can I say something?
Of course.
Balak's one's raced Sternadle twice and beaten him both times. Is that like he... And like it was first up last time, and it was 2 years ago in the... it was Stern Idol versus Balak's one, and it was... Balak's one was the one... Ballarat? Was, yeah, Ballarat. He was off the map.
Yeah, when
Balak's right. I actually remember that. And
I backed him. And I were there.
Yeah, right, okay. Well, yeah, I don't know, like...
I backed Balak's one.
He's going well enough on the flat. Maybe he's been.
Yeah, they've both gone separate ways though. I think
He's been backed early. He was
Balak's one's gone one way since he's Balak's one's only gone one way since he hasn't had Steve Professor riding him.
Stern Idol was also slaughtered that day.
That's no knock on Will Gordon because he's a good rider, but I think Stern's gone to a new level, and I don't think. I'm happy to sit here and say, hand on heart, balls on the line, that Balak's one is not the same horse and has not looked like being the same horse that he was the day that he beat Stern at Ballarat. And Stern was slaughtered that day. That's probably Willie's worst ever ride in Australia. Yeah. That was a bad ride. Professor pulled his pants.
I like that multi in terms of Irish Butterfly into Stern Idol, but I just can't look past Britannica's as not being a bet here, because Stern Idol, at the end of the day, he is the one to beat, but he does carry 73 kilos and you're likely going to be taking $1.60 if you want to have a singular bet on him. That's probably not for me over the jumps, and I can get $9 about a horse who won this race last year, carries the exact same weight as he did last year, 68.5 kilos. He won an Australian steeple, I believe, at Sandown, bolted in that day. I just think this horse has to be the clear-cut second elect, and at $9, he's over the odds. So I could entertain him as a bet, and I think he's still a little bit of value. We know he likes to get out in front and dominate his races. That probably won't be the case here.
Which he won't do. Yeah,
which he won't do. But as Nico alluded to, he's a horse who doesn't really want a heavy, heavy track. He wants it just on the soft side, and he's going to get those conditions. So... as long as Stern Idol doesn't actually rip his heart to pieces, which could happen, you never know. He could be too close to him, and
I cannot wait to see this race unfold.
Yeah, well, they're going to be sitting 1-2.
This will be like Pride of Jenny. This is exactly what's going to happen, because that's what Stern will do. Stern's just going to run his own race, and he's going to go hard, and he can sustain it for 3,400.
And Kuru won't want to let him get too far in front, so it's going to be them 1-2 and the leading pack. A long way back in, in the third division, I think.
Kuru's just going to be doing the bullocking work. That's the only issue. Britannicus is going to be at his top for a long way, I think. Britannicus's best races are when he can control them. And I know that he's definitely not going to control it, but I can see your angle. I think he's definitely value in terms of he should be closer to second favourite than what he's a better chance than Balak's one. If you can get a head-to-head market somewhere, Betfair or whatever, Britannicus to beat Balak's one, I think that's a great bet, because you'll probably get better than even money that. I think that's a good bet. I just think Stern, barring bad luck, which I don't see happening, especially over 34.50, he should just run too quick for them, I think. He jumps too good. There's not many knocks.
No, there's not.
The fact that he's got to carry 73 is the only doubt, I think. But he's a good horse. He can carry it.
I think the main thing I'm knocking is just the price. If he's $2, then I'm probably having a real crack as a single bet. But current prices, Britannicus for me.
Well, that's why I think. Yeah, that's why I think you can definitely get some money out of Butterfly into him.
All right.
as well.
We go from the Hurdle Maidens to the Flat Maiden, race four over 1,200 metres. Demora Queen, $3.60, has been smashed since prices open. Capzini, $5.50. Spirit of Flight, $5.50. Parista, $6.50. Bot Rail True, day one around the circle. What can you tell us about not only the track, but what horse you're liking in this race?
Yeah, it's a good meeting for the flat. There's only one maiden, which is unfortunate because that's what I was most looking forward to on the first day. But the first day can typically play a little bit sort of on speed and then it sort of gets off. But there's a couple of races where there is like an absolute shit ton of speed. So we'll see how it eventuates. But I am in the first race. I want to be on Demora Queen, who is actually Swatstat's half little brother. And also Mawalok is also a nice horse. It was started favourite versus Flying Fizz, who I backed a couple of times and ended up running second to Miraval Rose, who's a nice filly. And they went really slowly that time, and I don't think it suited it at all. I think it was much better suited just rolling along, and it was essentially a 400 metre sprint. So I think there's a little bit untapped with Demora Queen. Like, horses like Capzini are established at 11. I just don't think have that next step with them. And and the other horse I want to be on is All the Way Baby, who was really good at Hamilton, ran a nice rating there, and the splits were massive. Just sort of got held up for a run, and I think from 17 can work across. I'm not too worried about the map. Like, it can be an issue, but like I think I'll be probably taking $9 to $10 on the day. Maybe I'll see what I do, but I haven't bet yet, and I haven't backed any horses yet. But I'm just sort of seeing what the track might do, and like, because it's I don't really know. Like, they might irrigate the fuck out of it, but yeah, all the way, baby, and is a nice enough result. Will be a nice enough result for me, but main result in the race will definitely be Demora Queen, I think. Yeah, it's trialed really nicely between runs too, so it's the main result for me. 4:20, yep. I would expect I expect that it starts probably closer to $3, maybe even shorter than that. The one that they've backed early, sorry to keep rambling on about a maiden, but the one that they've backed early is Parista, who was I understand it, it was a massive split. It's been 15s into 6:60 is the best price now, but it's the splits were there, but the time was awful. Like, let's be honest, they went really, really, really slowly, and it was just okay. It needs to elevate heavily to get involved here. The map's good, I'll give it that. The winner came out and ran third in a listed race in Adelaide, but there was no market expectation for it on its first up run. It'd need to heavily improve. It can. The market is a little bit scary, but it's one that I'm willing to risk on the first day. So I'm with those two horses.
Sweet. We happen to skip race five, go straight to race seven.
Yeah, no interest in the two-year-olds.
No worries. So 2350 meter benchmark 70. Divis Romulus. Well, if you got the $4.20 on open, then well done to you. He's into $2.60 from Pearl Blur, $6.50. Vividil, $8. Wakamama, $11. And Rudaha, $12. But can this horse be given a better steer than last start and get the chocolates for us?
Well, I'd hope so. And it probably will, because I backed it last start.
Me and Johnny Allen will be having words at Whalers if it doesn't.
Yeah. Johnny Allen has had a stiff... me and Johnny Allen have had a bit of a stiff run recently, but...
We'll need a fucking stiff drink if this gets beat, I tell you.
He got some of it back on Epimelus, the Farjack horse, but yeah, still, anyway. Divis Romulus is clearly the one to beat. It's still unexposed. It's like, as a function of it, John Allen completely slaughtering it its last start, there's still some progression, and I still think, like, even though it won two back, there was a lot more to come with that, and there were splits there. The splits were there to suggest that there's still more to come. They nommed this horse for a Caulfield Cup
last preparation, obviously I backed it in its maidens and it lost both of them. But yeah, this horse I've had a very, very difficult relationship with, but I'm prepared to go again. If I get $3, I think I'm maybe $3, $3.20 is sort of the price range where I'm willing to be involved. But there's a couple around it I think I can at least have something on, because Marshall Eagle finished essentially alongside Divis Romulus. The splits weren't quite as good, but it'll settle a lot more forward than it. And so that sort of cancels itself out. And it's a horse that can run a good rating. It's by Alderflug. So you'd expect, it's like, it's a German horse. So you'd expect that it gets through the ground. Like, it's beaten ahead to Roaring Engine. Haaland 3.5 back to third. Like, that's good form. That's good enough form for this. Like, second to Shayar at Flemington. It's got some really nice form. And, if you remove the favourite Divis Romulus from this race, I'd almost have it sort of second pick. I could even back my Rock Alley. What am I against in this race? I'm not really against much. Whack-a-Mine is, I think, a little bit short. Stardom Awaits is too short. Woods is too short.
I won't be letting Woods go around naked, that's for sure.
Yeah, well,
the same set play that happened last year when it won.
Yeah, exactly. And you can get those sort of things that can happen at Warrnambool. Like, horses can completely resurrect their form, but I just think Marshall Eagle's in. Yeah, I just think Marshall Eagle's just established around a good level. Like, and you're getting $21 is the best price right now. And if I do get the price I want for Divis Romulus, and I'm more than happy to get involved with it. I think it's more like a $250, $260 sort of shot.
Yeah.
Mitch Friedman's got a handy jumper on his hands if he ever wants to take it jumping. And before Guido, don't know what he's doing. But anyway, send it there, Mitch, if you're listening. Sure, he will be. Good friend of the show.
So, Woods did win this race last year by 4.5 lengths. One of the biggest goes you'll see. But that was on a dead set heavy track. I think
still
Divis Romulus is the second best bet of the day for mine, behind Irish Butterfly. And I think if you back both of them and both of them are winning, then you should be staking that you come out in front. He gets the blinkers on first time here for Nick Ryan. 2,350 metres is perfect. Last start, he just got way too far back, but he rattled off in race faster sectionals easily behind a horse named Samuel Langhorn, who has gone on to win really impressively last start at Flemington. Everything lines up for me. Look, you would have loved if this was a bigger track than Warrnambool, because he's a big striding thing, and you just feel like once he gets back to a bigger track, we've seen his big performances come at Sandown and Pakenham, two big straights. Once he gets to a track like Flemington, you feel like he's going to explode. But I'm really happy to be on him here. Very, very progressive stayer. And I don't think he would have looked out of place in the Warrnambool Cup, to be honest.
Yeah, well, thought they might have gone there, but I'm glad they're here. Cup looks pretty weak this year.
Yeah. Moving on. Any other thoughts?
No, that's all, mate.
No.
All right. Let's go to the famous 1,700-meter handicap on day one. Clydemore is $3.70 favorite from Unseen Ruler, $6. Sir Davy, $6.50. Queen Air, $9. Picaroon, $9.50. Thunderpoint, $10. And Fengarada, the grey, $11.
He's back.
Will, what are you backing?
Yeah, well, this race is tricky because it, I really like Clydemore. I think he keeps when he gets into races where you need to be found out, like they go really, really fast, and he's always there, and he always, first up, he's had three trials. They're all pretty good. Like last start, he completely belted Red Sun Sensation. He belted Captain Envious, who went on to win the Ballarat Cup. Red Sun Sensation went on to win a stakes race, I think, anyway, from the top of my head. It's first up. I don't have any problems with it. It's, first up last pro, but won the Coleraine Cup, bolting in fast time. The short SP didn't need to fully extend that day. Then second up, it went to the Maui Cup, and they went way too quickly. So excuses there. So I think it'll just sit sort of first three. I don't think there's any real urgency to lead. It's not one I really want to get massively involved in because I'm not super keen, but I think it deserves to be at least sort of a little bit shorter, and I don't think it will get to the price I have it. I think it'll continue to get out. And the backing Unseen Ruler, who raced on Saturday, obviously it's backing up, which is a decent recipe for Warrnambool, but it just went awful on Saturday. So and the other one I want to have something on too is Horrifying. And if you look at Horrifying form, it's off about 300 days, but it's the ratings it's been running are completely competitive with these, and I think it only really needs to run to form, and it's trialed pretty well. And I want to be on Horrifying and Clyde more. I backed Flossing last time. If Flossing gets back to its best form, I think it can win. But it just went too badly last start. There was no real excuse for it. And Queen Air looks the rawdy sort of one. It was first up 1,200 meters, and it could, like, if it gets back to its best form, it completely bolts in here. But Clyde Moore is the...
You're taking it on well and truly trust.
Yeah, I just think, yeah, Horrifying is an easy enough bet for me.
Square does.
Nothing really else interests me.
I'm happy to follow the lead with Bot on Horrifying. I don't necessarily subscribe to the same things that he's waffling on about with Claymore. I think he's got, well and truly, his work cut out for him, 61.5. He's probably got the best form in the race, but you see it often at Warrnambool, horses that have got the best form with lots of weight don't often win, so bit of buyer would be rare for me, would be my suggestion with Claymore, but
yeah, he deserved that weight. Like, he's worked for that weight. Like,
I know he deserves it, Bot, but he's still... And he's earned it, but still. He's got to give a lot of weight away first up.
All right.
He carried 60 and a half.
The penultimate race of day one. 1,200 metre benchmark, 70. I won't read through the whole market. Let's wrap this podcast up. But, Bot, you are tipping Mezo for Daniel Bowman, who was obviously our guest on the podcast on Thursday night.
Yeah, I reckon he goes better with a bit of giving the ground, which he's going to get. And I think he's a really talented horse. He's still sort of unexposed. He's only had the 9 starts. I think he can punch up, be relatively forward. And I think he just needs to run to his number. On the soft tracks, he's clearly better on a soft track, I think. And maybe he's better at 14, but I don't really have any problems with that. I think he's trialed well enough. And Keitel comes up the short price favourite. I understand it. Like, he was a big splits, but he's just going to get a long way back again, I imagine. I would have thought he'd get a long way back. And, yeah, he seems like more of a 1,400 metre horse to me. And I want to be against him. He just doesn't have a big rating in him yet. He could come out and blow them away. He's still progressive, and he can run a nice split. But he looked pretty easy to oppose. And the other one I want to have something on was Gav's horse. It's Lavina. She goes pretty. Is it he or she? I don't know. Anyway, it goes well first up. She goes well first up. She goes well with giving the ground. So, look through its form. First up last prep was beaten by Vivienne by half a length and was screaming late. Like, it was, she's not a 1,000 meter horse. She's much better suited at 12 first up. So this looks like a set play. I think Gav knows that she's better at 12, and he knows that she's best at the first up and at 1,200 meters and with given the ground. So Warrnambool's perfect. The gate's not ideal, but like, she was going to get back anyway. So she's one I want to have something on. I think she's 30s. So that's a very easy price to bet and find out, I think.
Yep. Soft track is a big, big tick for her. Five starts on soft going, 3 wins and a placing. So that is good reading.
Well, her ratings
two
are
friends of the show,
best.
Daniel Bowman and Gav Bechgood.
Yeah.
They'll both be listening too, so they'll be delightful that they'll be delighted that you've tipped their horses' bot and just shoved them in a few points.
All right, we move on to the last, and there has been a very big go for another Gavin Bechgood horse here. 1,100 meter benchmark 64. Walter Spur.
We better have something on the double because this could be a massive night. If he's to get he's up. Drawn. Imagine we land the quaddy with two gab runners to get the last.
Drawn 20 of 20. So that's your query on day one. But this horse has obviously shown a likening for wet ground himself.
They'll be off the fence by this point. There's lots of speed in this race.
There is. Did anyone get it early price? Because I certainly didn't. He's been double figures into $6.
No, I was thinking about it, but I didn't.
Either one of two things has happened here. Either Gab's had a bet, or they listened to the post-race after the first yesterday, and they've pushed it in anyway.
Yeah.
One of the two things have happened.
Yeah, pockets full. Gav, shout us a couple beers if we're doing no good this weekend. Oh, this week, sorry, please.
If we've done our Chimindel.
But what are your thoughts on this race? Are you with Walter Spur?
Well, I was going to be, but I can't now because he's too short now. Yeah,
I think he'll get back out a little bit.
Yeah, I would have thought so. If he gets out to $10, I'm most certainly having a bet on him. He's a really nice horse. I think the race sets up perfectly for him. I think he can just sort of sit wide. I don't really have any problems with that. They'll go ridiculously fast here. There is so much speed on. My betting in this race is dictated to by what the market does because I want to bet three horses, but so I'm definitely betting Light of Rose. I think it's debut went really well and then it sort of pulled up lame at its next start, and I think the trial's been nice enough. I think it's good enough. So Squala's another one. If I get $7 to Squala, I'm definitely betting. It's $6.50 now, so $7.50, $7, maybe even $8. I'll sit around and wait. I'll hope I don't miss the price. But
pissed in the last year,
yeah. That's right. Yeah, they went really quickly and it kicked off a fast speed. I'm against Unlimited Magic. I think it's more of a. I think it's a squib. I'm gonna say like. It's soft track. They're going to go ridiculously fast here. I don't have a favorite. I don't have it anywhere near favorite. I have it $8.60. And the other one I want to be on too is British Angel, who started Betfair's pair. I think it was $9.70 versus Coco Sun, who's come out and won at Bendigo since, and then ran third, beaten half ahead in the Group One. South Australia, Australasian Oaks. So it pulled up with cardiac arrhythmia there. So forgive that. It's 30 days between runs, trialed really nicely. It's back in trip. It's a speed machine. It'll go straight to the front. You probably get 27s, 30s on the day. I don't really, like, if it gets caught wide, they go way too quick and it finishes out the back of the screen. Like, who cares?
Geez, we'll be cheering Walter Spur, but fuck me. If something happens to Walter and this thing comes down the middle of the track, we'll be fucking roaring this thing home if we've got Lavina home in the last. Bookend the quaddy with $220 plus shots.
Yeah. So at this point, I'm going to back Light of Rose more than likely. I think best price now is $11. I have it sort of $6. So Squala, I'm wanting to bet if I get $7.50, $8, I'm more certainly going to back it. I think potentially could be better with soft ground. And what else am I doing? Yeah, and I'm definitely going to back
Walter if you get the price.
Yeah, and Walter Spur. Like, I'll be walking around the betting ring. Like, if someone puts up $10, I'm more than
he'll be running around. Punish.
We're getting some footage of this, Benny, this weekend or this week.
It'll be like a power walk.
Oh, yeah. I don't have the iPad, so I've got the computer. It's gonna be a little bit less.
Do you want me to bring my iPad for you to run around with? You're not going to fucking run around with a computer. Not a fucking chance in the world you were doing that.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, those are the ones I'm sort of centering my betting around. I think it's a really good meeting for betting. Like, there's no, like, I'm not declaring anything. I don't, it's just good competitive betting. And if you jag one race, you might win for the day. So it's good.
Yep.
There'll be plenty of moves. There'll be three or four horses that get set off in every race.
Yeah, that is the beauty of the Warrnambool Carnival.
Oh, it's like no other. It is fantastic. There's horses that are completely legless in their form, just getting obliterated in the betting ring. You're like, how the fuck is this horse being backed? And just all of a sudden, this doubt in your mind. You're like, this thing can't beat me, surely.
Yeah. Because trainers want to win these races. Don't worry about the prize money. It's all about prestige, and they have been set for this race, and often they've been hidden.
Yeah, snagged. Not doing much. There'll be a few horses to get backed off no public jump outs or trials, and they're the ones that you've really just got to keep your nose to, because they're the ones that often smell of a rot.
Yeah, definitely be watching that late betting. And if it is your first time at the carnival, then good luck. It is a marathon, not a sprint.
You'll fucking need luck. Lots of it.
You can treat it as repeat sprints because... it's a fantastic week. So if you're heading up or if you're heading down, whichever way it is, send us a message and we'll catch up. Fellas, looking forward to seeing all your beautiful faces tomorrow.
Tell you what I'm most looking forward to.
On another podcast.
This will be interesting.
The dumplings. I don't know who it is, but the dumplings there, the chicken dumplings there. If you go on a Warrnambool, get the chicken dumplings. They're the best thing.
The best thing about Warrnambool is the food is absolutely amazing. And there's that much of it that you can have something different every day.
And you're left. No, you just get the dumplings. You get the dumplings every single time. The chicken dumplings.
I know, you boring fuck.
Breakfast.
Or something else.
No, you don't. You got to
get the prawn toast from the Chinese place. That's the goat.
The best. I'm
talking about on track. Like the dumplings on track.
The best bet is to have breakfast every morning with me.
And also get to, if you can get yourself on the invite list for the Betfair party. On the Tuesday night, I believe.
Tuesday night,
at the Irish pub. That's going to be an absolute ripper. We will be doing some content with Betfair this week, so keep your eyes peeled for that.
Is that just Nick?
Me and the three of us.
Nico's doing a bit of separate jump stuff, and then we're doing just a bit of silly stuff. So it should be a bit of fun.
Okay.
Let's wrap up the podcast there. The socials. And we'll check in with you guys tomorrow. Cheers. Jumbo check.